We have a few very exciting things on the agenda for today, Mitzvah Hashem. We're going to start with the Ramban. The Ramban has an introduction to Masechta Pesachim. I'm going to read to you a few lines in the Ramban. If you want to photocopy it, please do. He says, Inyan Bitul Chametz Shez Kiru B'Gemara. This is the Gemara Daf Dalet. The Gemara says, Midaraisa B'Bitul B'Al Masagi. So all the Torah needs is bitul. And now the Ramban wants to expand the scope of bitul. And he says the following. He says, Vadai lola mait bedika bilvada omru, elafilu chomitz yadua, vinir lefanenu nami sagile bebitul. The Ramban establishes here, and we'll see that this is a really controversial point, that even if I have chametz that I see in front of my eyes, I know about it, I can be mevatel it. And when the Gemara says bitul bal masagile, it doesn't mean that I need bedika and bitul. I need bedika because I have chametz yadua, and bitul for chametz she'eni yadua. No, bitul can cover everything, even chametz yadua. It's not like I have to destroy my chametz yadua and then I have to make bitul for chametz she'eni yadua. I can make bitul from A to Z, and I can cover the whole gamut. Any chametz that I have, even chametz that I see in front of my eyes, says Ramban, I could be mevatel. Now, in a minute, we'll see that the Ramban quotes two sugyas to prove this, but let's see who he's fighting against. He's fighting against the Rambam. Although, I have to admit, it's not the Rambam that we have in front of us, it's the Rambam that the Kesef Mishnah had in front of him. Let's read the Rambam. Perek Beis, Mehilchas Chametzu Matzah, Halacha Beis. And then we'll see the Nusach that the Kesef Mishnah had. Says the Rambam, after he introduces that Zemitzu Sameina Torah of Tashpisu, Mai Hashbasa Zu Hamura B'Torah. What is this Hashbasa? And he says, He sheyevatel hachametz belibo, v'yachshav oso ki ofar, v'yasin belibo she'eno bershuso, ein bershuso chametz klal. The Chol HaChametz Shebershuso, the man repeats himself, I don't know why, Hareyu Ke'ofar. Twice he says in the same halacha that Bitul means the Chametz is like Ofar. Now, according to the text as we have it, in the Rambam doesn't differentiate between Chametz Yadua and Chametz She'eni Yadua. On the contrary, the Rambam gives the impression, Mitzah Seven HaTorah Lahashbis HaChametz, Tashbisu, and Tashbisu, Mai Hashbasa Zu Amru B'Torah, says the Rambam, Hishi Avatal Chametz Belibo, Vakshivot Ke'ofar. The Rambam seems to assume that that's how I fulfill my obligation according to the Torah law. There's no additional Chiv. But now let's listen to the Rambam of the Kesef Mishnah. Which, by the way, if you look in the back, there's something called Shinu Nuschos. He tells you that this Rambam is Nusach Romi. Okay, this is the Nusach they had in the old manuscripts in Rome. And his gears is the following. Mayi hashbasa zu hamura b'torah, he sheyasir hachometz hayaduolo mershuso, v'she'eno yaduolo yevatlo b'libo. So the Rambam, the way the Kesef Mishnah has it, would say the following. You need two parts to Tashbisu. Part number one is to get rid of any chametz yadua, any chametz that you know about, you have to get it out of your rishus physically. And then vis-a-vis chametz she'eni yadua lo, the Torah says yivat lo belivo. So I need both. And they're all included in one package called hashbasa. There's no doubt in my mind that the Ramban, in his introduction to Masechta Pesachim, is coming lafuki, that nusach in the Rambam that the Kesef Mishnah has. Because again, the Ramban goes out of his way to say that all you need is bitul. It's not that bitul ba'amasagile, once you did bedika and you got rid of all the chametz yadua, any chametz that you could find, and then you do bitul on chametz she'eni yadua. In other words, the Ramban is telling you, don't think that after I did my bedika, the Torah says, well, look behind me. Yeah, did I cover everything? Did I get rid of all my chametz? Well, there may be some chametz around that you don't know about. and then you should do bittul. No. The Gemara says bittul ba'al masagi means from soup to nuts. That's all you need is bittul. Even, and he says the black and white, chametz yadu'alo. Now let's listen to two proofs that the Rabban brings to support his view. Kinarina lekamon. First he quotes the Gemara on daf vav amid beis. The Gemara says, motzi gluska yefefa. The Gemara says the following. Why is it that the Rabbanan, at least, are not going to rely on Bedika? After all, Bedika is a good thing. You know, he checks his house, gets rid of all his chametz. So the Gemara says, because you know what? He may have missed something in his Bedika. Gluska yefefa. And then the Gemara says the following. So let him make bittul immediately after he finds his gluska yefefa. So the Gemara says, you know what? It's after Shasi Suro, Bittul can't operate at this point. But in theory, the Gemara wants to apply Bittul even when he finds the Gluski Yefefa. This is what the Ramban wants to prove, that Bittul operates even on Chametz Yadua. V'od, and he says, furthermore, I have another sugya. The Gemara has a sugya later on Daf Zayin. Talmid Ayoshev Lifnei Rabo. So the Talmud is transfixed to his seat because he can't, you know, he has aim of the year of his Rebbe, and he reminds himself, oh no, I have some problem here. I got an Issa Megulgeles, I got a dough that's rising, and I can't leave my Rebbe to go and destroy it. So the Gemara says, Mevatlo Belibo Vendaya. All he has to do is Mevatel the Chametz in his heart. And says the Rabban, this is obviously a case of Chametz Yadul. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rebbe and he reminds himself that he's got a piece of Chametz. If he wasn't sitting in front of his Rebbe, the Gemara says he would go and destroy the Chametz. He doesn't have the possibility of doing so. I don't know why I can't say excuse me to the Rebbe, but in those days I guess they had Amos Rabbo. And therefore the Gemara says that he does Bittul. We see clearly that Bittul operates even for Chametz Yadul. Now, the truth is that according to the gears that we have in the Rambam, no problem. The Rambam would also agree that Tashbisu Hamur B'Torah He Habitol, and that works even for Chametz Yadua. But if you accept the gears of the Kesef Mishnah, that Bittul can only work on Chametz She'ena Yadua, meaning after he finishes his Bedik and he gets rid of all of his Chametz, then he makes Bittul, so what are you going to do with these two sugars? So I want to read to you two paragraphs here that I found in my classer over here from Rav Aaron Kahn. I don't know if you know Rav Aaron Kahn. He took scrupulous notes back in the day of Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim, and in this particular case, unfortunately, he says he was sick, he was ill, and he wasn't able to write the notes, but he put it together from some other Talmud's notes. So this is not really 100% Rav Aaron Kahn, but he writes the following. Yesh letareitz das ha-Rambam dechavetz yedua i'efsha levato eletzarch levaro, and he says the following. What are we going to do with these two sugyas that the Ramban quotes? Yesh lomar, shemeacher shalemaisa harei hu mekayim es hachometz hayadua v'beiso, muchach hadavar, di eino rotze v'bitulo. He says the following, that in a situation where he has two options, he can either destroy the chometz or he can be mevatel the chometz. The Rambam says, since he could destroy the chometz, it's Chametz Yadu'alo. Therefore, we don't really believe that he wants to be Mavata L'Chametz. He's Eino Rotze B'Bitulo. It's not a sincere Bittul. Why? Because he has the option of getting rid of the Chametz. So now you're making a declaration, well, it's like the Ofar, it's like the dust of the earth. Well, you know, actions speak louder than words. Why is it that you're making this declaration and you're telling me it's like the offer, but you're not willing to destroy it? Im kein lo kosher mishtei asugyos hanal shesham I efshel levaro. Why? Either because he looked for the chametz and he didn't find it, Correct? So you can't tell me that I'm guilty, you know, so to speak. I've indicated that I'm lacking in my serious nature of bittul because I could have destroyed it. I didn't know about it. And in the second case, it's a Talmud of Yoshev Fnei Rabo, and therefore he can't get away to destroy the chametz. Then we can assume that he really is sincere with his bittul. Are we okay so far? Shall I repeat that just for myself? He's saying the following: that if you accept the girsa of the Kesavish and the Rambam, and there is no such thing as bittul on chametz and yadua, on chametz yadua, that's not an absolute ironclad rule. That's the general rule, and the reason why we don't rely on bittul and chametz yadua is because you have the option, the possibility of destroying your chametz. However, if you have a situation where you can destroy the chametz and you didn't do so, we don't believe in your bittul. But let's say you have a situation where you couldn't destroy the chametz, your hands are tied, you didn't know about the chametz, you couldn't get access to the chametz to destroy it. In all those scenarios, the Rambam would accept bittul. Now again, before we go on, I just want to point out that this approach to the Rambam is in my mind, is somewhat problematic. I don't want to give grades here, but you know, to say that the Rambam really holds that there is bittul on chametz yadua, but it all depends on whether he has the option to destroy the chametz. He doesn't have the option. Is he serious about his bittul? Is he not serious about his bittul? That's putting a lot into the Rambam. You're going to have to add, number one, nukimta, and number two, the Rambam is not saying an absolute rule, and number three, you're going to have to add the psychological principle that the Rambam really just doesn't trust his bittul because he's looking at the chametz and he's letting it be. But here, at this point, he adds another possibility. And he says, Od yesh lefarish b'Rambam. Now this really captured my imagination. We always assume, I'm just giving you a little introduction, that Bal Yiropa Yimotze and Tashbisu are basically two sides of the same coin. It's one enterprise, just that there's a lab and there's an essay. Is it possible, and that's why I think he's going to investigate now, that there's a difference between the two? One is the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu, and the other is to avoid the violation of Bal Yiropa Yimotze. The Rambam here in Perek Beis is addressing the mitzvah of Tashbisu. And he wants to answer the question, how do I fulfill the Torah's requirement of Tashbisu? And the answer is, again, if you accept the Kesef Mishnah, then I have to physically destroy my chavetz, and that which is Eina Yadu'alo, you can employ bittul, make it like the Afra Diara. That's as far as the mitzvah of Tashbisu is concerned. However, as far as Bal Yiropa Yimotze is concerned, the Rambam is not going to differentiate between Chametz Yadua and Chametz She'eina Yadua. In any case, bittul is meaningful. When the Torah is commanding you in the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu, the Torah sets high standards. And the Torah says, look, you have Chametz Yadua, destroy it. That's the Rambam Shita according to the Kesef Mishnah. Chametz She'eina Yadua, do bittul. And on Eina Yadua, that's going to be where the Torah has this fallback position, you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu. However, if you're asking me a different question, what about Bal Yiropa Yimotze? There the Rambam would agree that bittul operates even for Chametz She'eina Yadua. I'll read it to you inside. Yesh lefarish, shel shitas haram yesh shnei dinim bebittul. Now, bittul has to accomplish two goals. Aleph, Shalo Yavar Olav V'Bal Yiropa Yimotze. Again, we're not exactly sure how that works, but that's going to be our discussion. But somehow the Torah magically allows you to facilitate a bittul that will remove Bal Yiropa Yimotze. Number two, Shemekayim Bazeh Mitzvah Tashbisu. That by being Mavata Yechametz, you fulfill the Mitzvah Seyev Tashbisu. U'bazeh Chilek HaRamba Ben Chametz Yedua L'Chametz She'eina Yedua. Hainu Dafka Ben Ogeh L'Kiyum Mitzvah Tashbisu. Derak b'chametz she'eina yadua yesh kiyum mitzvah tashbisu kishem avatlo avalo b'chametz yadua. The b'chametz yadua tashbisu kipshuto tevaru. Tashbisu means physical destruction.
The chametz she'en yedua, when there's no possibility of tashbisu, literally, the Torah says, let's take a broader definition of tashbisu and let's allow for even hashbasa b'leiv, meaning even bittel, will be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu as far as chametz she'en yedua. V'zeu shomar rama may hashbasa zu hamura b'torah. Right, what does the Torah have in mind for hashbasa, meaning for the mitzvah save tashbisu? Sheyasir kol chametz ayudula mershusa. First of all, let's take tashbisu literally, get rid of all your chametz, tevaru, if you know about it. But v'sheini yudua, says the Ram yivatlo belibo. And by being mevatel belibo on the chametz sheini yudua, he fulfills the mitzvah of tashbisu. So it comes out that according to the Rama b'chametz yudua, where you have the opportunity and the possibility of hashbasa mamish, that's it. You have to take the pasuk literally. And hashbasa means tevaru, you have to destroy the chametz. Chametz she'eni yedua, the Torah says, you know what? There's a fallback position here for chametz she'eni yedua. There's no option of hashbasa, you don't know where it is, etc., etc. The Torah says, we'll accept bittul, and then you fulfill your mitzvah of tashbisu. However, there's another halacha, and that's halacha of bal yirah bal yimotzei. And as far as Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotzei is concerned, even if you have Chametz Yedua, again, we're not assuming, like we said before, that he's not serious, he's not sincere about his Bittul. He's absolutely sincere about his Bittul. And the Torah says that if you Mavatel your Chametz, it's as if it's Afra Diara, and therefore you don't violate Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotzei. So again, let's go back to the two sugyas that the Ramban quotes. The Ramban has a sugya of Talmud, the Ramban has a sugya of a person who did his bedika, but he missed the gluski of feifa during his bedika, and the Gemara says, you know what he should do? He should be mavatel belibo. The Gemara is not talking about the mitzvah tashbisu. The mitzvah tashbisu he fulfilled already. He did his bedika, he destroyed his chametz. Now he's got a piece of chametz. And what does he do with that piece of chametz? He's got to protect himself from bal yirah bal yimotzei. Let him be mavatel the chametz. Would he be Mekayim in the mitzvah tashbisu? The answer is no. Because on that gluski feifa, we have chametz yedua, and chametz yedua is not tashbisu through bittul. The Talmud of Yosef b'fnei Rabo, he has no possibility of being Mekayim tashbisu, so that as far as physical destruction is concerned, his hands are tied. But he's got a very pressing situation. He's got a bal yirah bal yimotzei hanging around his neck. He can't leave his Rebbe and destroy the chametz. So what does he do? Bittul. The Rambam holds there's no bittul on chametz she'eni yedua. That's only as far as what mitzvah? Tashbisu. But as far as bal yirah bal yimotzei is concerned, he can protect himself from bal yirah bal yimotzei from bittul, through bittul, even with regard to chametz yedua. So again, when you read that Kesef Mishnah and the Nusach of the Rambam, you have to emphasize the opening line in the Rambam. And that is, umai hashbasa Zu Sha'amra Torah. What is the mitzvah of Hashbasa? Here the Rambam is going to distinguish between Chametz She'eni Yedua and Chametz Yedua. Chametz Yedua you got to destroy. We're going to take Tashbisu literally, be your mamash. And Chametz She'eni Yedua, which you don't have the option of Tashbisu in the physical sense of Biur, here the Torah falls back onto Bittul. Now I ask a different question. When do I violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzei? That, the answer to that is if I consider the chavish something chashiv v'einai, if I consider it kiaf for the ara and I make that declaration of bittul, then I don't violate bal yirah bal yimotzei. It doesn't matter one iota whether it's chametz yedua or chametz she'eni yedua. The answer is no. So with regard to those two sugyas that the Ramban quotes, those sugyas are not addressing the mitzvah saseh of tashbisu. They're only addressing the avoidance of bal yirah bal yimotzei, and their bittul works.
I have a question. First, just a straight question because I don't know the answer. If you destroy just half your chametz, are you being mekayem a mitzvah?
I would say no. Why? Because I would think that tashbisu means all or nothing. Meaning, you have to set yourself up as a chametz-free environment. You know.
Okay. And then just my reaction is that this kind of thing, saying, well, if you can find it, then do this. If you can't find it, do that, has very much of a rabbinic ring to it.
It doesn't sound like a doraisi, you mean?
Yeah, it almost sounds maybe like a dievet, right? Thing, right?
Maybe you're right, but again,
tashbisu means one of two things. Either destroy it, or just consider it dirt. So which is it?
But again, keep in mind the Torah has, in this sense, a goal to achieve, yes. And yet it's a problem
how to reach that goal. That's why I asked the first question.
So if the Torah says Tashbisu, which means get rid of all your chametz, what are you going to do in this case? Again, you found chametz, you know.
Apologize. What are you going to do? So what if I can't do a certain mitzvah? I can't do it. But don't say
right.
If you can. It's almost like Pesach Sheni or
right. But the Gemara says Bebitul Baal Masagi. And the Gemara adds the word bidaraisa.
Right, and you're assuming that means tashbisu, not baliyora baliyora.
Well, it depends. But let's go with the second answer.
Right.
Let's assume it's baliyora baliyora. So on a level of tashbisu, enochinami, you have to destroy your chametz. So we're going to take that literally. As far as baliyora baliyora is concerned,
it's not mine. I don't have to say.
It's not mine,
it's
or
like
it's offered
for the hour.
Correct.
It, but you want
correct.
The kind of mitzvah.
Correct. So correct. In all these cases of chametz you do, according to the girsa of the Kesef Mishnah, you're mavata your chametz, you're not makayim the mitzvah. Brownie points you won't get. But at least you're protected from the violation of baliyora baliyora. The point that you're making, I think, Sam, which that's what irritates you, is that according to the Nusach of the Rambam, Mai Hashbasa Zushamra Torah, well, that divides. And that's the Rambam's answer. As far as Chametz Yadua,
it's like extenuating circumstances.
Chametz Yadua,
it's extenuating, but
let
you do it at any substance.
But again, it's not like a classical Durabonon. In a sense, like a classic Durabonon means, what do we do if you're involved in A and it might lead you to B? That's what we call a siag or exer. Here the Torah is asking a slightly different question. It's not what do we do if we allow you to do A and then you lead to B. What the Torah is saying, how do we accomplish this goal of get rid of your chametz? You know, you don't even know where the chametz is.
Karm over your, it has a ring of that. If you can't afford it, you know,
right,
at least
right. Maybe that, if that helps, you know, that I wouldn't make necessarily the analogy, exactly. But if it helps, it helps. You know, anything that helps is always good. Okay. All right. Now, what I wanted to point out here is an article that I gave out. I think you got copies of it, I hope. Again, I put it on the
tablecloth 2 days ago.
Yeah, and I left it here. It's over there.
Oh,
there it is. Those are yours. I had to get rid of this tablecloth for one reason. I spilled tea on it, accidentally. And it was wet tea all over. So I decided I would take the sword into my hand, take the and destroy the plastic. So I apologize for that. Now, in terms of what I photocopied from you, it really covers... Now, you have to consider that the first page in this book is page number 6. All the first 5 pages are like, you know, table of contents and all that stuff. So what we have here... Wait a minute, before you go, Sam, I want to just make sure that you have the pages I need
you
to have.
11.
So I need you... what I would like everyone to have, this is my dream, is from 6 to 12.
You want me to do that now?
Okay, then that's the sach hakol of what I photocopied for you so far. But, you know, it's difficult. I'm in a funny situation. I don't know who's here on Sunday, who's here on Tuesday, you know. If it's Thursday, we're in Paris.
You want me to do that now?
Well, I'm a little bit... I hoard this safer right now because I want to see if I can make some progress. But what pages do you have?
I have 10 and 11 only.
Okay, so you know what? I'll do it backwards. Instead of doing page 6 and page 7, we'll do pages 10 and 11, okay? And then we'll see how to negotiate from there.
I can copy 6 and 7 right now.
You have 6 and 7. You see, some people have 6 and 7.
I have 6 and 7.
You also have 6 and 7, right? It all depends who's here when.
So you have 6 and 7?
No.
Oh, all right, so I'll make 2 copies.
All right, but Jeff, I'm going to try to go slowly here, so hopefully you won't miss too much, but... You know, I have a lot of exciting things.
Yes,
I have a lot of exciting things on the agenda.
Yeah, 2-sider, okay.
So we have here, on page 11, is a chiddush of the Prima God. Very, very fascinating chiddush of the Prima God. He assumes that there's no such thing as Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh on chametz sheni yadua. If I don't know about the chametz, that the Torah is not going to help hold me guilty and liable for such a thing. And if, on the other hand, Rashi says that we have to check the house because otherwise we'll violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, the opening Rashi in Psachim, what that really means is
that I'm going to see the chametz. Why? Because I've got my house is what word can I use? You know, my house is reeking of chametz. Okay, I'm going to use that word, right? Because for 360 days, you know, I've been bringing chametz in, right? So the house is reeking in chametz. It's chametz like coming out of every nook and cranny. Therefore, there's a very good chance, that's the Prima Gordon's Kiddush, that I will see the chametz. It'll pop out of somewhere. So far, so good? Oh. Says the Prima Gordon, the moment I see the chametz, I violate Ba'al Rabbi Yimot. See, that's what Rashi means when he says we have to be bodek the house, because there's so much chametz in the house that there's an excellent statistical chance that I will meet up with one of those pieces of chametz, and at that point, Bali Yiroah, I've seen the chametz, and I violate the law.
But that's an incorrect literal translation, right? Bali Yiroah doesn't mean seeing, right?
Oh, so that's going to be the chiddush here in this Prima Gordon, that Bali Yiroah should be taken literally. Now, what do we do with Bali Yimotzeh? So, for example, the Gemara says that Bal Yimotzeh covers even a case where the chametz is subterranean and I can't see it; it's underground. So the Prima Gordon might say, "Well, that's as far as Bal Yimotzeh is concerned, but not as far as Bal Yiroah is concerned." The Gemara never postulates that you would violate Bal Yiroah for chametz that you can't see. So therefore, we're going to take this pasuk literally and say Bal Yiroah only applies when you see the chametz. Bal Yimotzeh is a big chiddush, because it's going to tell me that even if you don't see the chametz, it's deep below the ground, but nevertheless, you violate Bal Yimotzeh. Comes along the Prima Gordon and says, you know when you violate Bal Yimotzeh? That's when you deliberately put it below the ground, so you know about it. That's called Bal Yimotzeh. But let's say I have no knowledge of the chametz. I don't see the chametz, I don't know where it is. In such a case, Rashi says, there's no Bal Yiroah, Bal Yimotzeh. Neither this nor that. It's not Bal Yiroah because I don't see the chametz. It's not Bal Yimotzeh because it's Eino Motzeh Lo. He's not going to find it. He doesn't know about it. He didn't put it down below the ground. Rashi says at the beginning of Pesachim that the purpose of Bedika is Shelo Yavar all of the Bal Yiroah, Bal Yimotzeh. The answer is he may see the chametz. That's the Prima Gordon. He adds a whole piece to Rashi, as I say in Yeshiva, statement. You read the Rashi and he says, Rashi doesn't say, well, maybe the chametz is going to fall down from my attic and all of a sudden I see it. But the Prima Gordon is the Prima Gordon. So I'm not happy with the Prima Gordon, but that's what he claims. But now let's read the Gemara on Daf Dalet. The Gemara says, Midoraisa bebitol pi'alma sagile. What does that imply? If not for bittul, right? But bittul ba'masagile, which means that you will protect yourself and obviate bal yiroah bal yimotzeh through what? Through bittul. What does that mean? If not for bittul, you'd be violating bal yiroah bal yimotzeh. Well, how's the Prima Gordon going to explain that Gemara? He's going to have to tell you, well, you're going to violate bal yiroah bal yimotzeh because this chametz in front of your eyes. That's really far out. That's really a dochak to say that. And if you take a look here on page 11, in paragraph number 2 on the page, which also starts with the word ach, he's got almost every paragraph here starts with ach, but it's the second ach. And he says, Zed dochak. He says, this is, you know, you're going to tell me that according to Rashi, you're going to violate by your open matzah because you might see the chametz. And the Gemara says, "Midoraisa v'bitol ba'masagi muchach." I'm skipping here to line 5. "Delo sagi v'meshu chametz sheni yedua." The Torah is saying that if you don't know about the chametz, you better be mevatel it. And we're not talking about the case where he's going to see the chametz. So what's the Prima Gordon going to say now? He's going to say, "Well, midoraisa v'bitol ba'masagi on chametz sheni yedua. You got to do bittol because otherwise you violate bal yiroah bal yimotzeh if you see the chametz." What do you mean if you see the chametz? The Gemara is not talking about a case where you see the chametz. The Gemara is talking about chametz sheni yedua lo. And now you're going to tell me that you need bittol because otherwise you violate bal yiroah bal yimotzeh. Well, obviously you're violating bal yiroah bal yimotzeh because
the chametz is in your rishus, not because you're seeing the chametz. And that's where this prima godin becomes very, very difficult. Now, at this point, we want to go back to page 7. But now you have to. Okay, so now we have page 7 or we don't have?
We do have page 7. We just don't have 8 and 9.
Okay, I don't think we're going to get to 8 and 9, but we'll see how we, you know, what happens down the line.
No.
Okay. Now, Rabosai, we're up to the Pnei Yoshua here. Let me just again give you the gist of what we discussed in the past about this Pnei Yoshua. So if you haven't heard it in the past, this is something that really speaks to my heart. The Pnei Yoshua says that Rashi could not tolerate the following statement, that the reason why we need Bdika is because of Shema Yovel Yochel. He might come to eat the chametz. Tosus has a magnap, a whole structure here that, you know, chametz is different than other isurim. It's lo bedili minei. If you're going to have chametz around, you might eat it. Says the Pnei Yoshua, I'll tell you why Rashi can't tolerate. Number one, I don't even know if I have chametz in my rishus. And you tell me to do a bedika. Obviously, bedika means look in every nook and cranny. Maybe you'll find chametz. And again, I always challenge you guys, when was the last time you found any chametz during your bedika? Except for the 10 pieces that you put out. Now, let's assume there is some chametz somewhere. You know, chesnish, I don't know, it's in a crevice up in the top of your, I don't know what. Now you have to assume that maybe he'll find the chametz. Chametz is going to fall down, he'll see it. Then you're going to assume, well, maybe he's going to eat the chametz. Why? Because the whole year round he's eating chametz. Rashi can't tolerate that. You need a chad gadya here that's made up, a string that's made up of three different assumptions. Number one, that he has chametz. Number two, that he's going to find the chametz. And number three, he's going to eat the chametz. None of those are crystal clear. Because my wife did a pretty good job cleaning up the house. Therefore, Rashi couldn't tolerate. Oh, however, here's the Chiddush of the Pnei Yoshua. In event that I'm looking at a piece of chametz on Pesach, then Rashi will agree, Shema Yovel Liyachol. And what does the Pnei Yoshua want to gain from this? Tosfos says, I'll prove to you from an explicit Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Beis that the Gemara holds that there is a Shema Yovel Liyachol. The Gemara wants to know, in my bedika, I came to a room and I have a chametz that's sitting on top of a rafter. Kikar b'shmei korah. Kikar means a loaf of bread, b'shmei korah. So Gemara vacillates. Do we assume that he's got to get a ladder and climb up during his bedika and destroy that chametz? Well, can we say, no, it's not going to fall. It's inaccessible. So the Gemara says the following. It's the first of the wide lines on the bottom of the page. The Gemara says, maybe it's going to fall. The Asi Lemichle, and then he'll come to eat it. Says Tosfos, you see clearly that Bedika is coming to serve the purpose of Shem Yavol Yachlo. You can't change the text of the Gemara. Says the Pnei Yoshua, if the Chavitz falls, and now he's got Chavitz sitting there, he may come to eat the chametz. Rashi also agrees fundamentally that there is such an institution as Shem Yavol Yachol. But not when his chametz maybe, and maybe he'll see it, maybe he'll listen, and then he'll come to eat it. No, that string of sveikis, we're not going to accept according to Rashi. But in a case where you have chametz in front of you, says the Pnei Yoshua, if you look carefully, Rashi himself more or less says this. Because Rashi says on Daf Hey that if you find chametz on Pesach, kofa lovas akli. And Rashi explains why? Shema yovel yachla. So again, says the Pnei Yeshua, you're looking at a piece of chametz on Pesach. The Gemara is another thing on the same Daf. The Gemara says that if a Nachri comes into your house and he plops down a piece of chametz on your table, also a mechitza asar tvachim. You have to build a mechitza. So Rashi says, why? Shem yavol yachla. Says the Pnei Yeshua, because you have a piece of chametz in your rishus. You've cut down your chashoshes from 3 to 1, if you follow me. You know, you're not asking, is there chametz? You're not asking, will I find the chametz? You're just asking, could I possibly be tempted to eat the chametz? Then Rashi would agree, Shem Yavuya. So if we take the Pnei Yeshua as a whole, we now have 2 dinim. Not a brisket say dinim, but 2 dinim in bedikas chametz and getting rid of your chametz. There's 1 din in bedikas chametz, which is, according to Rashi, because of Al Yorah Bayimotza. I'm not going to find the chametz. I have no idea where it is. I'm not going to eat the chametz. But it's in my rishus. And if it's in my rishus and I own it, because I didn't do bittul, therefore I violate Bali Rabbi Yimotze. That's 1 din of bedika. Search and find the chametz. Why? Because if you don't find the chametz and you don't destroy it, you will violate Bali Rabbi Yimotze. Why? Because Rashi holds this Bali Rabbi Yimotze on chametz she'eno yadua against the prima gadol. Then there's another din, and Rashi doesn't deny it. If I'm looking at the chametz straight in the eyes, Shem Yavol Yachla. And all the sugyas where you'll find Shem Yavol Yachla, and Rashi himself adds 2 sugyas, they're all talking about chametz which he's looking at right in front of his eyes. And now the Pnei Yeshua goes on, and this is on the top of page 7. According to Tosfos, the whole thrust of Bedika and its goal is Shem Yavol Yachla. Says the Pnei Yeshua, why do you make a bracha on Bedikas Chametz? We have something called Bedikas Toloim, which means that I'm checking for bugs, so I shouldn't violate an Achilas Toloim. We don't make a bracha on Bedikas Toloim. Says the Pnei Yeshua, there are 2 dinim. There's 1 din of a kiyum mitzvah, and on that we make a bracha. And there's another din of himanus me'avera, to avoid an avera. When we try to avoid an avera, we don't make a bracha on that. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me schar in the next world, but I don't make a bracha on that. It's not a shekin shonim, it's also a tzivanu. I just have to do everything in my power to avoid a violation of an iser. Says the Pnei Yeshua, if that be the case, according to Tosfos, the entire entity of Bedikas Chametz exhausts itself in Himanus Mi'isur. I'm just afraid that I might come to eat something that I'm not allowed to eat. Why do I make a bracha on such a thing? And if you take a look at the language of the Pnei Yeshua, he says, Mevur b'gemara, shabodik tzot sheyivar. That's a sugya on Daf Zayin. Hiksha Pnei Yeshua, Levi toisus shechir b'diku michashash takol Hashem yavol yachlo, madua mevarech, v'abachol makom lo matzinu bracha al siluk chashash takol. And he gives the example in Yerodea Siman of Zayin, Ophos drusim, right? If you're learning Chulin, you'll know what I'm talking about. I think they're up to the sugya of Ophos now in Chulin. And it says there, Asurim b'shehiyah b'beiso. You're not allowed to leave these ofos that are treif in your house for zman meruba, for an extended period of time. Shem yishkach, shedar, say, you know, confuse one bird with the other, v'yochlan. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, v'eino mevarech al siluk ofos, v'chein b'bdikas toloim, eino mevarech. Now let's take a step back. Why is the Pnei Yeshua upset with Tosfos and not with Rashi? Rashi says that Bedika Shalo Yavra Olav B'Bal Yerobai Matzah. I mean, that's also a Siluk Chashash. That's also like Bedikas Tolon, and it doesn't deserve a bracha. So the Mepharshim say that Tenshu is not bothered by that because Bal Yerobai Matzah and Tashbizu are 2 sides of the same coin. Not the way we said it in order to defend the Rambam and the Girsa of the Kesef Mishnah against the attack of the Ramban. And we said there are 2 dinim, there's 1 din of Tashbisu and there's a Kiyum and there's another din of Bali Rabbi Matzi. No! We're going to say that according to Rashi, Bali Rabbi Matzi and Tashbisu is 1 package deal. Whenever this Bali Rabbi Matzi, the Torah says you have a mitzvah of Tashbisu, get rid of it. Whenever there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu, it's because you're going to violate Bali Rabbi Matzi. Says Rashi, you have chametz in your house. Or at least you might have chametz in your house. You don't know about it, you don't see it, but it's yours. You haven't done bittul. Therefore Rashi says, you have a mitzvah now
to find the chametz and destroy it. And that's not only a hibanis milav, but it's also a mitzvah saseh of tashmis. Now, on a textual level, it's a little bit of a problem, I admit, because you're going to have to squeeze something into Rashi's text. I mean, Rashi's Kadesh lo yavro v'al yor v'aymot, so he left out what? Tashbis. I'll tell you why he left out Tashbis. Because Rashi knows that when we get to Daf Zayin, Om Rabbi Yehuda ha-bodik tzorch shi'yavarech, we're going to have to rack our brains and figure out why did Rabbi Yehuda have to tell me such a thing? Of course ha-bodik tzorch shi'yavarech. Is there another mitzvah that we don't make a bracha on? Ah, it's only a mitzvah d'rabban. Do we make a mitzvah, a bracha on a mitzvah d'rabban on? Yes. Who can give me a couple of rayas that we make a bracha on a mitzvah d'rabban on? Megillah, Chanukah, Ner Shabbos. Well, prove it to be from Leil HaSeder.
Arba Kosov.
No, we don't make a bracha on Arba Kosov. We don't know why we don't make a bracha on Arba Kosov. But there is a mitzvah that's d'rabban that we make a bracha on. Which one?
Maror,
excellent. Maror Bismana says Drabbanan. Al Matzah Sumrav Yochlu, we don't have a carbon pesa. So if this be the case, what's Rav Yehuda or Rav coming to teach me? I know that myself. Call it Mitzvah Kulu, Tzarch Levarch Lehm Over Lassi Yosma. So Rashi's going to tell you, because if not for Rav Yehuda's statement, I would read the Mishnah, Arli Abbas, Abod Kiris Hacham, it's Kadesh Lo Yavar Olam, Vivali Rabbi Yimatzi, that's only a Seel Chashash Isra, you don't make a brach on an Isra. Kamash Malan, that is a Mitzvah Tashbisu, and then Rabbanan, they want you to do Tashbisu on Leil Yudalid, even if you already did your bit. But according to Tosis, that the whole enterprise of Bedika is only in order to calm me down and I shouldn't need comment. Why is that different than Bedika's Tolon?
Uwe Hechre. You don't make a bracha on the lav. Is that conceptual or does that have a precedent? Because if it's conceptual, I have a beef with this.
I'm not sure what you mean by conceptual, meaning it's practical. It's really intuitive.
Because you're not.
Asher kidshon mitzosov tivano lasos. Every bracha is on an asiya, and avoiding a losa says not an asiya.
So I'm thinking of the Rambam who says that you would get malchus
for buying chametz.
So there, the logic is that here's a way where you can do something.
But again,
right?
You know, what we're saying is that don't buy chametz on Pesach. Okay, so we're going to make the bracha.
So here's what I'm thinking. No, not in that case. My mind is going. This is just based on my brain. Is that in general, don't eat something. So every minute I'm not eating, but I didn't do an act of not eating. I just didn't eat. Whereas when you get rid of your chametz, so right now, bal yorai. Right now, I did an action which makes me not do that. So there, I'm a kind of lot with a.
So you don't have to introduce Tashbisu, you're saying. Maybe my whole shiur
is... I'm not talking about Tashbisu. Just in terms of the lav, you said in the lav, you wouldn't make a bracha.
Right.
Here's a case where you're actively doing a bal yorai.
Correct, but that's only according to Rashi, because Rashi holds that there was no bittul. But according to Tosis, there was already bittul. So you're just trying to avoid the achila of chametz. That would be a lav. Even in the case of Bedikas Toloim, or getting rid of the Ofos Drusim, I mean, he's doing an action.
But the action doesn't mean he's not eating it. It's just like, make sure that he won't be able to eat it. Where Bal Yorai means don't have it, there, I don't have it. I just didn't act with maybe not
to don't have it.
I had it, now I don't have it.
Right. But I still think it's conceptual. You would not make a bracha even in that case, because...
An act of love also not?
Right.
Even
I don't think
act
so.
Of love?
As far as I know.
Like Sucha Les Alam, so to speak.
If there were a bracha on Shabbos Aveid, it would not be on Lo Sucha L'Salam. It would be on Hashiv Tishrei.
I got it. Okay.
In other words, I would not make the bracha when I picked up the Aveido, but rather when I returned the Aveido.
Okay. Even though it's an act of nullified Lo Sucha L'Salam by picking it up.
But still, it's a lot.
Okay. So you're saying you see it as a principle. You don't.
Yeah, it's a principle. It's conceptual.
It's not.
Well, so now, how do we defend Tosus and justify the bracha on Bedika? So the Pnei Yeshua says the following: the hechrech shegam lefi Tosus yesh mitzvahs Bedika atzmis. Okay, now underline the word atzmis, because this is one of those words that come from, I don't know where it comes from, some sort of conceptual Lithuanian derech halimut, I don't know. I never heard it from my Rebbe, but this is good to say.
Yesh mitzvahs bedika atzmis min rabbanan bi'etzem ha-bedika. So again, all I can tell you now, and then you guys generally could say better than I do, that the word atzmis means it's an independent and perhaps absolute obligation. What I mean by independent means it's not just do the bedika to avoid chametz and avoid eating the chametz, but do the bedika. That's the way the Rabbanim formulated. They wanted a bedika with all sorts of prerequisites, all sorts of conditions, or an air, whatever it might be. And number two, I think bedika atzmis might mean that not only is it independent, but it's also absolute. When I say absolute, I mean we're not going to ask in any particular scenario or situation, are you going to come to eat it or you're not going to come to eat it? Just get rid of your chametz. Be bodek your chametz.
Your first translation would need an aleph, atzma'i. It's a different shoresh.
I think the word atzmis means in and of itself.
That's intrinsic, right. So not independent, not atzma'i.
Right, but I'm saying in and of itself, meaning as opposed to an introduction or preliminary to Shem Yavo Le'achlo.
It's not attached to anything.
And the second element here, I think, in the equation is that it's absolute. Meaning, even if you would come up with a situation where there's no real chashash of Shem Yavo Le'achlo, nevertheless, you'd be chayiv in bedik. Now, perhaps we could fast forward. Now again, the fact that there's a key of mitzvah bedika we know from the bracha. But in addition to the bracha, right, we also have what's called zrizah makdimim lemitzvahs. So Gemara wants to say that you should wake up early on the 14th of Nisan to do your bedika because you want to be makayim zrizus. But that could only make sense if it's a mitzvah saseh, not if it's a lo saseh. Number three, the Gemara says in Afches that if you're looking for chametz during your bedika, and you're afraid that your goyish neighbor is going to accuse you of kishuf, because there's a char, there's a hole between your part of the wall and his part of the wall, and all of a sudden in the middle of the night, you know, you're snooping around there with a nair, so he's going to shoot you in the, you know, over the head. So Gemara says shluchei mitzvah in nizokah. And the Prichadish assumes that Shluchei Mitzvah Nizok only applies to the Kiyuvah Mitzvah, but not with the Losasa. So when you're avoiding a Losasa, there's no guarantee of Shluchei Mitzvah. I don't know how he knows such a thing, but that's what he assumes. And he quotes the Magen Avraham to prove that.
Because otherwise you always have Shluch Mitzvah. You're not eating treif, you're not doing... Right?
Yeah, that's... But maybe if I have to put myself into a dangerous situation in order to avoid treif, maybe the Torah is going to guarantee me some sort of protection. I don't know. He has this principle. He bases it on the Magen Avraham here in Hilchas Bedika, that only with regard to something that's a positive kiyum do we have this divine protection. Number four, there's a principle called Mitzvah bo Yosef Vishlucha. That only applies in the key of a mitzvah. If I could be Mekayim Mitzvah myself, I don't send you as my agent. And that applies to Bedikas Chavetz. And the Magen Avraham says that if you have two choices, doing the Bedikah yourself or sending a Shliach, you should do it yourself. The Gemara is even going to establish that if I have to spend money for the Bedikah and I could bill you for it, then you're absolutely satisfied with that. You're happy, even though it's going to cost you. Why? Because nichle le'inish le'me'eved mitzvah b'mamona. We have principles that, but that only applies to a mitzvah. So again, we have kama v'kama proofs, and the greatest of all is the bracha, but all the others as well prove that bedikas chametz is a mitzvah. It's not a losas. Number one, you have a bracha. Number two, there's rizah makdim le'mitzvahs. Number three, there's shluchei mitzvah nizakin. And number four, there's halacha mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucha. Now he has a long presentation, Rabbi Kivega. We're going to skip that for the moment, and we're going to fast forward to Biur Hachronin. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Biur Hachronin. It's at the end of page 7, and we're going to turn to page 8, which I think you have. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. He says that Tosus' language really is a dead giveaway. Why? Because Tosus wants to know.
We don't have 8.
Oh, you don't have 8.
No.
Uh-huh. All right, so you know what? It's just a few lines. I don't want to take a break, but believe neither. After I read these few lines, I'm going to give you the sefer. I'm very stingy about giving out the sefer, but for friends, I'll do it. Just kidding. And he says the following. The Tosis' language, again, even if you don't have the text in front of you, you could open up the first Tosis in the Masechta, you'll see these words. Vatam, if somebody could just tell me what line it is, it's about line 8, I would say, I'm just guessing, I don't have the Tosis in front of me. Vatam, Sheikh Miru Tfei, do you have such a thing? Vatam, Sheikh Miru Tfei, maybe it's 10 lines down, something like that?
Yeah, it's the fifth narrow line.
Fifth narrow line. Mi Isuriano, Shalotzrichu Levaro, and Tosfos goes on to say Lo Bedili Minayinchi. So this is the famous breakthrough of Tosfos. We have Kelaya Kerem, and we have Orla, and we have Basa B'chol. We have many different Isuriano. We don't find in any of them that the Chachamim required Bedika. So theoretically, I could have a piece of juicy novella in my house, and I can even put it in my fridge. I mean, gotta be careful that there's no drippings and everything, and I don't have to destroy it. Now you may say, well, Nevela is not approved because Nevela is only Asur Bachila, and I could give it to my Goyish neighbor as a gift, I could give it to my dog and feed him, so therefore the Rabbanu would not require of me to destroy something that I could benefit from. Mashen Ken Chometz, I can't benefit from the Chometz. But what about Klaya Keret? What about Basa B'chol? Can you imagine the man has a cheeseburger from McDonald's and it's sitting on his table and the Rabbanan say you don't have to get rid of it. That's Isuri Anna. That's just as bad as Chametz. And Klaya Kerem is Asur Vana. Orl is Asur Vana. So Tosis has to find a reason justifying Bedikas Chametz in the case of Isur Chametz as opposed to all the other Isurim. So Tosfos comes up with this major breakthrough called Lo Bedili Minei Inchi. Now we have to open up a Mishnah in Tmura. The Mishnah in Tmura says, with regard to Isuri Anah, that there are two categories. One is called Nikbarim, and the other is called Nisrafim. So for example, Arla and Klaya Kerem are called Nikbarim, which means you have to bury them. And let's say Nosar is called Nisrafim. In any event, there's something very odd going on over here. Tosis's premise was, when he asked himself to Kasha, why do we only find Bedika with regard to Chametz? What about Shari Suriyano? The answer is Shari Suriyano, I have to bury it under the ground. Or I have to burn it. Those are my two options. There's no third option. You know, the Mishnah in Tmura covers the entire gamut of Isuriyano and gives you two alternatives, depending on which category it belongs to. It's either Nikbarim or Nisrafim. Well, my friend, Nikbarim Nisrafim means you got to get rid of all your Arla and all your Klaya Keren, all your Nosar, whatever it is that's also about Na. So what bothers Tosis? Says the Nitziv, and you'll see this on line 4, Ubimarome Sada, Bir Shekavanas Atosis, Shebeshar Isuri Hanolo Itzrichu Livdok. Again, there are two forms of beer, whether it means, you know, digging up under the ground subterranean, or whether it means destroying it through burning, but he's got to get rid of it. Ah, but he doesn't have to be bodek. He doesn't have to look for it. He has the klaya kerem, he has orla, he's got to bury it. But there's no chiyuv bedika if he doesn't have it in front of him. And Rabbi Chanan is not happy. He says the fan mi yemer lecha she'ein chiyuv bedika. Who says you're not chayiv in bedika? The Mishnah says that you got to bury it. Well, how are you going to bury it? You don't even have it. It's not accessible. You're going to have to look for it, and then you're going to bury it. Says Rabbi Chanan, even if I grant you that you'll have to look for it in order to bury it or burn it, that's not called bedika. Why? Because ein chiyuv bedika atzmus. Again, that same word that eluded us before, that very vague terminology or atzmus. And I think what he's saying is the following, that the Rabbanu never said Well, under all circumstances, you have an independent chiyuv unto itself to go ahead and be bodek for arla klei kerem. We don't find such a thing. That's what bothers Tosfos. What we do find is that if you have chametz, I'm sorry, if you have isuri anor, then you have to find the isuri anor in order to bury it or in order to burn it. But there's no chiyuv unto itself to go ahead and look for isuri anor. That's what he calls atzmus. Where do we find atzmus? In other words, the Mishnah is not going to tell me, well, you know, if you find chametz, you got to destroy it. No, the Mishnah says you got to check through every single crack and crevice in your house and then destroy your chametz. That's only in chametz. If you have isuri anor, and if you have a chashash maybe to look for isuri anor because you know you have it, you have a mitzvah of getting rid of it, right? But there's no separate, absolute obligation in of itself of bedika, and that's what bothers Tosfos. And Tosfos gives an answer, lo bedili min inch. That's what's unique about chametz, is that it's lo bedili min inch.
But in something like orla, lo bedili min inch, there's a difference between this orange and that orange. They are exactly the same.
And so lo bedili min inch means that's a chefta di surah the whole year round. That's called lo bedili min. That's called bedili min inch. Lo bedili min inch is not. It's not a chefta di surah. Only for 7 days out of the year, it became, all of a sudden the same object that was a chefta di teir becomes also. Now this touches on a very, very fundamental issue that we're not going to get into now, and that is a chiv lizman, an isul lizman. Is that called a chefta di surah or not? Because the same object was mutter before this man, it's mutter after this man, during this man, it's also, is that really a chefzid isura? It just means the Torah is saying, addressing me and saying, avoid this during these 7 days. But whatever it is, there's something called lo bedili min einchi. It's really not a chefzid isura. It's not through and through us. The whole year round, the same exact object is mutter.
Just getting back to the point that you responded before. So like an arla, I guess people the whole year said, be careful of that food there. Every day, like Talmud.
Okay. On a psychological level, you can explain it. I was trying to avoid the psychology because I think Yosef is making a good point. You know, here are two fruits in front of me. You know, one is the fourth year, one is the third year. I mean, they both look the same apple. So, well, how do I know?
People don't steer clear of apples every year.
So that's why I say I think you have to add a conceptual point here in this tosis that lo bedili min einchi means it's not really awesome in the full sense. And I'll prove it to you, because the same object was mutter, and will become mutter, that's not a real genuine isur. The fact that two pieces of chametz, if you have, you know, a Yemenite pita, they call it a matzah, you know, the first time I saw it, I almost fainted, because I was in, I'll never forget this, Varsha Maisa 20 years ago, I was in the botanical gardens, in the old days, I don't know if it's still true today, during Pesach they allow you in for free. It's sponsored by one of the banks, every year it was a different bank, this was... Anyway, we went there, and I'm sitting eating my matzah. There's this Yemenite guy next to me. He's got a big kippah sugah, and he's eating chametz. I was sick to my stomach until I finally, somebody tipped me off that's matzah, that's not chametz. So imagine you have two pieces in front of you. The Gemara has a whole sugya about a mouse that goes into your house, right? By Dr. Seuss book, right? And you don't know whether he's carrying chametz or he's carrying matzah. You know, they look the same. It's a difference of 18 minutes this way or 18 minutes that way. Is that what Tosfos means by lo bedili min einch? Because if that be the case, then your talking about orla is maybe orla should be worse. It should be lo bedili min einch because the same fruit that looks identical is from the fourth year. Again, the fourth year is problematic because it's kerem revive. But I'm saying netter revive. You have the third year and the fourth year. I mean, there's a world of a difference between the two in halacha. But yet they look identical. So maybe I should require bedika. But Tosfos says there's something called lo bedili min einch in chametz. The big question is going to be yayin for nazir, because yayin for nazir is only aser during the 30 days of his nazir. So, I mean, there's such a thing called the nazir ola, but if let's say a stam nazir is a shloshim yom, that yayin he was allowed to eat, he was allowed to drink a minute ago before he accepted part of himself nazir. The same bottle of wine he's going to eat 30 days from now. Why is that any different than chametz? We never found a chiyuv bedika for a nazir to get rid of his wine. And why not apply the principle of lo bedili min einch?
What about food on Yom Kippur? I mean,
Correct. So food on Yom Kippur is the same story. That Erev Yom Kippur is mutter, Motzi Yom Kippur is mutter, and therefore it should be the same as Chametz. And we should apply the principle of lo b'dili mina, of lo b'dili mina yinshin.
It's also by now.
So then you have to say that Tosfos only talk about Isuri Adnah. That's not going to have. That's not good for the Ritva, because the Ritva says Nevelo, and the Ritva is talking about Isuri Achila without an Isuri Adnah.
Another also.
Yeah, same question.
So you see what Mitch? It's a problem here to iron out this Tosfos, but he has a formulation here which is called a mitzvah atzmus or a bedika atzmus, and in and of itself, yeah, the Chachamim established a mitzvah. Now, by the way, Tosfos has a second answer which I think will satisfy what Mitch was asking, and that is there's no other mitzvah in the Torah with regard to anything that's machal sasus of tashbis or bal yirah bal yamatz. So the Torah is already giving me the clue that I have to be more careful about chametz than about any other Easter. So on Yom Kippur, I talk about the fact that I'm not allowed to eat this, and let's assume Yechiel, even if it's Yisur Achila, that's enough. But nevertheless, the Torah doesn't give me a mitzvah tashbisu. The Torah doesn't give me an alav of Bal Yirah Bal Yamatzeh. In chametz, the Torah said it. So the Rabbanu went a step further. They analyzed the Torah and they got a directive from the Torah. They see if the Torah has already set the pattern that we have to get rid of our chametz, then even though bittul might be sufficient, I got to get rid of my chametz. That's Tosfos Shita. And why? Because the Torah says, you know, that this touches on, you've heard of the principle called darshin on time of the Krah or lo darshin on time of the Krah. It's a sugya in Erevin or wherever it is. And Tosfos seems to be assuming Darshina in time of the Krah. Why did the Torah tell me that with regard to chametz, you can't get rid of your chametz? And you're not allowed to possess your chametz? The Torah is worried that you'll come to eat the chametz. Why not apply that elsewhere? I don't know, but the Torah only said it with regard to chametz. And therefore the Rabbanan took that cue from the Torah and they said, we're going to be worried about achil. And the specific chashash of achil applies to chametz. So again, the first answer to Tosfos is lo b'dili mina yinshin. And then you have to ask yourself, well, in this case, is it b'dili mina yinshin? In that case, it's not. Arla, they look the same. Yayin l'nazir, it's the same yayin before and after, Yom Kippur, all these kashas, and you can go batty from them. But the second answer to Tosfos, which is a very very convincing argument, is that only with regard to chametz, nowhere else do we find this combination of tashbisu and bal yirah bal yamatzeh. Sam?
And that's good. I thought that you can just solve it by saying there has to be universalism. That takes care of
no, excellent.
Takes care of all
right, excellent. Let me talk about per beautiful point. So Sam says the following. Maybe in the case of Yayin with nausea, I can't drink the you know, I gotta be careful what comes out of my mouth here. I can't drink the wine because I'm a Nazir. I'm not a Nazir, right? I was close to talking to the deeper there, you know. But you can drink the wine, so I'm gonna invite you to my house and never a drink, you know. You can have a drink of wine. Oh, so Yom Kippur, what do we do with Yom Kippur though, right? That's Sam's question. Because Yom Kippur is also for everybody. So why did the Torah say, you know, get rid of all your food?
Back
okay, Rabbi. So let's put this on the side, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Maskir Bayis L'Chaver. We started yesterday, and let's see if we make some progress. So we're now on Daf Dalid Amud Aleph, and this is the sugya that we're up to. And by the way, if there's anyone, again, I'm embarrassed to ask this, but if there's anyone who could stay a little bit, even a minute after Mincha, just to do some photocopy, because it's just overwhelming for me. I have this article here, and I'm embarrassed to go on to page 8, because I don't have the time now to start photocopying. I have this Ramban at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim. We didn't even scratch the surface of the Ramban. And there'll be more, you know, if you can help me out.
I have a 130.
Okay. I'm not saying, I'm just saying that it's just a lot for me. What I'm really trying to do is put together a lot of different dimensions of Masechta Pesachim.
Tomorrow before the Shiur, if that helps.
Oh, that's great. That would be excellent. Tomorrow before the Shiur. Oh, and also, you know, I want to add, well, let's see, there should be some copies. You know, I became interested in this Sefer, correct? And there should be some, right? You have? Okay, good. HaSeder HaOruch, we make some copies, right?
Yeah.
And if we need extra copies, we'll make some extra copies. Okay then. So now we have a suffix in the Gemara. And this is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So let's count up on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph about, let's call it 15 lines up. Boy Minei, again, this phrase Boy Minei appears many times in the Gemara, so you have to find the right one. Boy Minei Mirav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Maskir Vais L'Chaver Bar Basar Al Mi Livdok Al Maskir Livdok De Chamir Di Dehu O Dilma Al Asocha Livdok Di Sura B'Shusei Koi. Now Rabosai, yesterday I missed a major point here, and I don't know how I missed it. The simplest way of learning this Gemara is, what is Bedikas Chametz? Is Bedikas Chametz what we call Shem Yavo Liachlo, or is Bedikas Chametz Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh? L'chor, that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. Because take a look at it. The Masker has to do Bedikas Chamir Didehu, i.e. he violates what? Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Who's living with the chametz over Pesach? Is the socher? The Gemara says, "O Dilma, al socher livdok di suri b'shusaykoi." That's called Shemiyavo liachlo.
It doesn't
own it. So I was getting very excited here, but then I realized, you know what? This is not going to be a good approach, because then the suffix of Nachbar Yitzchak is the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi will have to admit that because he's chametz b'shusaykoi in the case of the socher, you have a Shemiyavo liachlo, and Rashi doesn't mention Shemiyavo liachlo. So I'm very hesitant to assume that according to Rashi we're gonna interpret the socher as chayv livdok because the Shem Yavu Liachlo comments for Shusei Koi, and flip it around to Tosus. I'm very hesitant to assume that according to Tosus the maskil should be chayv and bedika because of Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, when Tosus shita is that midaraisa b'bitul b'amasagi, you covered your bases as far as Yirah Bal Yimatzeh is concerned with bitul. And the only problem of Bedika is Shemiyavu Liachlo. So again, you understand what I'm saying? I'd rather, even though it's very attractive, but I'd rather kind of avoid making a suffix in the Gemara, Machlokes Shin Rashi and Tosfos.
According to Rashi, you're over in a Goyis Chametz?
No, the Masker and the Socher are both Jewish.
No, but I'm saying, what do you mean? Shemiyavu Liachlo. If a Goy puts Chametz in your
house, for sure.
Does Shemiyavu Liachlo
absolutely
get rid of it?
Well, Rashi says that you build a machitza, you don't want to get rid of the chametz of the guy, he'll shoot you in the head. But you know what I'm saying? But you have to put it. Yeah.
Hmm.
But why do you mention that, Sam? I got a little sidetracked here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm just wondering if it has to do with maskir.
No.
Okay.
No, just,
but the maskir and socher are both good religious Orthodox Jews, right? And the question is, who has to do the bedika? So Rashi says, if you take a look at the end of the Rashi, Chovas Hagdar, again, if you're counting up from the bottom of the page, you'll count up five lines, I think, 6 lines up. Do you see where it says, Ki hai gavna mi boilon, torach ze al mi mutal? Now, it seems to me that what Rashi is saying here is that the maskir says to the socher, you do the bedika. The socher says to the maskir, you do the bedika. You know, it's like ping pong over here. And the question here is, torech zel mi mutal. You know, who has the tircha of bedika? Well, what do you mean, who has the chiyuv? Isn't there something bothersome about this? What do you mean, who has to do the tircha b'dika? Why did Rashi just say, who has the mitzvah b'dika? Or who has the chiyum of b'dika? It sounds to me that Rashi is saying that we know, we have no doubt that each one, the maskir and the socher, has a chiyum b'dika. Meaning, the bias belongs to the maskir, the chametz belongs to the, right? The bias belongs to the socher, I'm saying, you have to schir is kanya, okay? And the chametz belongs to the maskir. You have a bias with chametz in it, so that's enough to generate a chiyuv bedika. Or you're living in a bias which has chametz in it, that's enough to generate a chiyuv bedika. But torach zal mi mutal. In other words, lamaisa, who has to do the bedika? And I see this in the Gemara's equation to mezuzah. In the case of mezuzah, Reuven owns the house. He has a chiyuv mezuzah. What does it say there? Mezuzah beisecha v'sherecha, right? And on the other hand, Shimon is living in the house. He needs a house with which is equipped with a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, you know what? Here's a beautiful analogy. Just like in the case of chametz, of bedikas chametz, you have both a maskir and a socher, each of which is obligated in bedika for different reasons, but basically they all have shaychus, this bias that has chametz in it. So too, in the case of mezuzah, each of them, the maskir and the socher, both have a shaychus to the chiyuv mezuzah. Again, the Gemara, keep in mind, doesn't know chovas hadar. That's going to change everything, because that's going to indicate that only the person who's living in the house is chayiv in mezuzah. But right now we don't know that. So we think that if the house is yours in the sense that you're either owning the house or you're living in the house, then you could be chayiv in bedika.
If we said the
bedika. I'm sorry, in mezuzah. Wait, just one last sentence and then you feel the floor is yours. Take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Lasso Slow Mezuzah, the third of the wide lines. He says, Alma, what did the Gemara want to prove for mezuzah? Because we said that the socher is chayiv in the mezuzah. Alma midi de mitzvah alei ramye. Now what I think he means is that as far as the machayiv of the mitzvah is concerned, well, there's ample reason to be machayiv both the mask and the socher. But the question is, who has the final obligation to do the mitzvah? And in that sense, if I can prove to you that if both the mask and the socher have a machayev, and there's reasoning to be machayev, then so too in bedikas chametz, then I can prove to you from mezuzah that ultimately the mitzvah falls on the socher in a tug of war between, in other words, in a chiyuv that could be imposed upon one of two people, a masker or a socher. We're going to prove from mezuzah that the chiyuv lemais befall is going to be imposed upon whom? On the socher. And therefore, in the case of maskir and socher and bedikas chametz, again, you have a chiyuv of bedikas chametz which could fall on either one of these two, and therefore, based on mezuzah, we're going to conclude that the socher, yeah. Go ahead, Yechiel.
But there's also, we also said that doing bedika is a way of being kind of your mitzvah, let's say, of the chiso, and you left one according to. But the point is, there is a mitzvah here. So when one does it, he's been about the mitzvah, let's say, of the other person. That took away the opportunity
right
to do.
Later on, the Gemara is going to go through a whole question about Nichle Le'inish Le'me'evet Mitzvah B'mamona. That maybe, you know, maybe if the maskir takes away the mitzvah from the socher, maybe the socher has a right to penalize him and so forth and so on. But right now, the Gemara is trying to figure out who's obligated befall in actuality in the bedikas habayis. And the Gemara thinks that there's reason to be mechayev both the maskir and the socher, and that's where we need mezuzah to establish that in such a case the chiyuv falls on the hatchet falls on the head of the socher. He's the one who has to do the mitzvah, and that's called in the lashon of Rashi alma midi de mitzvah alei ramya. What does alei mean? Mm-hmm. On the socher. Alei means here on the socher. Now, what I tried to suggest yesterday, and this is based on a paragraph here that I want to read to you in the Hare Kedem, which again, if you want a photocopy, I'd be thrilled. On page Yud in the Hare Kedem, he writes the following. He says, Nire, dechiv bedikas chometz tarte dine be'inon chada. I'm going to read to you this line because this is the punchline. He says, "Habayis atzmo, hu hamachayv b'bedika me'achomit shebo." So the first din is on the bayis. Now, what does that sound like to you, Rabosai, that we discussed a few months ago in the context of Chanukah? Do you remember that? What's that called? A chovas bayis. In Chanukah, we said neri shu besa. And Tosis in Masechta Sukkah wants to equate Chanukah with mezuzah. And he wants to say that just like in mezuzah there's a chovas bias, so too in the case of Chanukah there's a chovas bias. And what that would mean is that we have to define your relationship to the bias. If you have a relationship to this bias, then the mitzvah is going to fall on your head to make sure that your bias is equipped with a mezuzah or a Ner Chanukah. And I think Rav Soloveitchik now in this transmission is applying this. I didn't find it in Rav Kahn, but is applying this to the case of Bedikas Chavetz, that is a Chavetz bias. The bias itself has to be now again, when you say the bias itself, the bias, last time I saw, I never saw bias do Bedika, right? So ultimately he says the other din, he says another din, Shenemar Bedika, Fu Din Al Gavra Livdok Ulevirus Achomes. So in other words, he's starting with a Chavetz bias, and now he's asking, well, which Gavra is going to pick up the actual Chiyuv of the bias? And therefore, what we can say is that the Gemara's suffix here is not about the bias, because this clearly this bias needs Bedika. The question here really is, which Gavra is going to have to implement that Chiyuv Klape with regard to the bias. And he says, "Valzeh hevia haGemara raya mi mezuzah. Tegam hasam habichovas bias. And if in a case of a chovas bias, where you have both the maskir and the socher, hadinu the ala socher lasos mezuzah is muchach to midi the mitzvah habayis. Whenever there's a maskir and a socher, and there's a chovas bias, ala socher ramya, and the socher has to implement the bedika." So it's a little bit different than what I presented to you. I thought the basic commonality to what I tried to push here and what the Rav is saying is that both the maskir and the socher can share or are part of the machayev of bedika. I didn't have this concept called the chovetz bias. I thought that now Torah zel mimuto means since both the maskir and the socher equally have a chiyuv. The masker because he owns the chametz. The socher because he's living with the chametz. It's b'rishusei kai. Now the question is, okay, who has to actually implement the bedik? I think the Hari Kedem is going with the same general approach, but for a different reason. He's taking bedik as chametz and breaking it down into two elements. And he's saying the first primary element to bedik as chametz and its obligation is on the bias. And now we say the following, that the maskir has a relationship to the bias because he owns the bias. More than that, not only does he own the bias, he also owns the chametz, and that's even more critical. So as far as the chometz, as a chometz bedik, as a chometz bias is concerned, well, my friend, your chometz is in the bias. On the other hand, the maskir has a right to turn to the socher and say, wait a minute, chometz bias? You're living in the bias. You're going to tolerate this chometz in your bias? Oh no, no way. You have to do the bedik. And the socher turns to the maskir and he says, no, a chovetz bias. What do you mean? I have to clean up your mess? This is your chametz? I have to get rid of your rubbish? What's going on over here? So it's a fight back and forth, not the way you feel you were saying before, that everybody wants the opportunity to do a mitzvah, that's going to come up later in the sugya, but rather who can force the other guy to implement this tircha, as Rashi calls it, of bedikas chametz. But now the Rav says something here which I can't figure out. If anybody could help me with this, I would appreciate it. Okay. He says the following. Yeah, you can, Moshe, you can take that off if you don't mind?
It's off.
Okay, great. Thanks. So he says the following. You listening?
Yeah.
Okay. V'zevadei nirali poshut. Demikol makom, sof kol sof, din bedika befoel chala gavra. You know, you could talk about the bias, and you could say that both the maskir and the socher have an equal shaychus to this bias, as far as bedikas chametz. This one, market isle, he owns the chametz, he's living in the house with the chametz. But at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself the question, well, which gavra has to implement the bedika? Where's the chovas gavra? And he says the following, v'nira, the chovas agavra shall bedika ubiur besocher maskir lo shachel asocher bilvad. That as far as the chovas gavra is concerned, it's only the socher. Why is that so? Now here's where I get a little lost. He says, "Ki rak ha-socher yachol livdok ulevaris ha-chametz."
He has access.
He has access.
The masker is done.
What about mezuzah? So listen to what he says. He says, "Chalaku mi mezuzah, chalaku tuva." It's very different than mezuzah. Why? So here, if you want to make a photocopy, I'm up to the top of page Yud Aleph. Again, this article goes on and on and on. I'm just going to read one or two paragraphs. He says, "The mezuzah ain't torach b'kviusa." Again, the word torach comes in. I mean, we saw the word torach in Rashi. He's saying that, you know what? Again, I'm going to. This is, you know, this is me, not the Rav. I don't know what the Rav had in mind here, but I would say what the Rav means here is that, you know what, the socher could turn to the masker and say, you know what, come into my house that I rented from you and put up the mezuzahs. I will be maskir lo shaykh lahatil of chovas gavra shal bedika li achash habayis hu biyad ha-socher. Which literally translates that to such a hassle in bedika that the masker is saying, I'm not going to turn over the house now because it's in your possession, Mr. Socher. So again, you know, we're in a bind over here because if you accept what the Rav is saying, which again, I'm very, very, what's the word? I'm very hesitant. Yeah, but I can't understand exactly what he means here, that mezuzahs ain't tarach b'kviusa, therefore the masker could be called upon to put up the mezuzahs even after the rental. But in the case of bedikas chametz, it's a great tircha, and therefore once the bias is rented to the socher, there's no way, no how that it could be a chovas gavra bedika on the masker. But again, keep in mind that this makes life very difficult for us because ibayaluhu, the Gemara is a suffix. Now, as Rav Soloveitchik points out, the following two principles. Principle number one, this assumption, is that there's a chovas bias in bedika, and principle number two, the second assumption, is that both the maskir and the socher equally share the chovas bias. Oh, so what is the Gemara finally vacillating about? And the answer is, well, what about the chovas gavra? I mean, chovas bias is very nice, but who has to implement the chovas gavra? And now he's saying that the only person who can implement the chovas gavra is whom? Is the socher. So what's the Gemara vacillating about? I think that's what, you know, he's stuck with the problem. So at this point, he turns to Tosfos in order to explain Rashi. If you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos says the following. Ein lefarish, you see the Tosfos do your maskir al maskir? Ein lefarish atam, the reason why the maskir is chayav in bedika, is came the shalohu, that he owns the chametz, which that's the way we translated the Gemara, v'ein adam yochel levatil elohu, and therefore chayv livdok, meaning Tosfos is postulating some sort of an interdependence. You know, it's a package deal. He who is chayv in bittel is chayv in bedika. And since the maskir owns the, according to this side of the Gemara, and since the maskir is the only one who can do bittel, he owns the chametz, therefore he's the one who's chayv in bedika. And Tosfos asks, "You can't be the imkain. Amai nokat maskir lechaver biyudalid. Afilu biyud gimel yischayev hamaskir lahaytaima livdog." If you take the Gemara literally, that the reason why the maskir is chayev in the bedik is because he owns the chametz, the same suffix therefore should apply on yud gimel. Why is the Gemara totally focused exclusively on a schiris that took place on Yud Dalet, even on Yud Gimel? Who owns the chametz? It's not like the socher made a kinyan on the chametz. He's not interested in making a kinyan on the chametz of the maskir. And maybe what Rav Soloveitchik wants to do now is answer up this kash of Tosfos by saying that as far as the chovas gavra is concerned, we have to come up with some answer to the question how we can impose that chovas gavra on the maskir, which is one side of the Gemara, when the house is in the possession of the socher. And according to Rav Soloveitchik, if the house is in the possession of the socher, he's renting the house, there's no way, no how, that we can impose a chiv gavra of bedikas chametz on the maskir to come into the house of the socher, because right now the house belongs to the socher, and clean up all the chametz. So he says the following. He says, "Hein emes, the gamma maskir, bias b'yud gimel, Shaychi bechovas bedika shal abayis. If you're looking at bedika from the perspective of the bayis itself, forget about the chovas gava to implement the bedika, then the maskir owns the chovas. And even on Yigimel, he's obligating the chovas bayis because chamir didehu, it's his chovas. But there's no way under the sun that we can be mechayev the maskir and bedika, because when did the maskir rent out the house? On Yud Gimel. So who has the keys on Yud Dalet when it's shasli and bedika? The socher. Well, we can't ask the maskir, according to this, we can't ask the maskir to enter into the house of the socher and clean up the chametz and do a bedika. And therefore, Poshit la Gemara, there was never an issue. Da maskir bais chaver biyud gimel, ala socher livdok v'ein chiyuv bedik ala maskir. Correct, because there's no way, no how that you can be mechayev. Again, it's not that the maskir is not shaykh to the chiyuv. He's definitely shaykh to the chiyuv. It's his chavetz, and that gives him a chavetz bias. But there's no way that you can implement that chavetz bedika because he's already rented out the house on yud gimel. And therefore, the Chovetz Gavra certainly is only the only candidate for the Chovetz Gavra is the Socher. Rak im kfar chal lel yudalit. Here's where the Gemara vacillates. The Sechiras took place when? On the night of Yudalit. So when the stars came out on the night of Yudalit, who was in possession of the house? Hello, anybody home? Knock, knock. No. When again, listen carefully. After Kvar Chal Lel Yudalit, then the Sechiras took place. So who was in possession of the house when the stars came out? The Maskir. The Chiyuv Bedika Kshoya Od Abayis Biyad Maskir. Here's where the Gemara has a doubt, is vacillating. I see we didn't get a chance to get to the Seder Oroch. Okay. He says the following. The Chiyuv Bedika Kshaya Oda Bais Biyada Maskir. So with Lel Yudalit, when the Chiyuv Bedika merges, the house is still in the hands of whom? Of the Maskir. Nimtza. The Mitzad Etzem Aschirus. Ein Chisaron. Bechalos Chiyuv Bedika, meaning as a Chovas Gavra, a Maskir. Why? Because the Schirus took place subsequent, post the establishment of the Chiyuv Bedika. So at the moment of the establishment of the Chiyuv Bedika, when that Chiyuv emerged, there was a house in the hands of the maskir, and therefore there's no reason why we cannot impose the chovas gavra and bedika onto the maskir. Here's where the Gemara vacillates. Bedin bedika schonis. Shemitzad chiyuv habayis. Again, once again, both the maskir and the socher are equal. The maskir owns the chametz, and the socher is living in the house with the chametz. So both of them have a shaychus equally to the chovas bayis. Ha'im din zeh, meaning the actual chiyuv bedika mutal maskir, or al socher. In other words, is there a possibility that now that the schiras was chal, meaning the maskir rented out the house to the socher, can now the chiyuv bayis could be tolui in the isur birshusay? Now we could say, but again, both. From the get-go, the maskir and the socher have an equal chiyuv chovas bayis. Now, we can even impose on the maskir a chovas gavra to do the bedika. How is that possible? Because at the moment of Leil Yudalit, he's chayev. So the socher is going to say to him, "I don't care about all your tircha, tislach li adoni, but you had the bayis in your possession with the emergence of Leil Yudalit the chiyuv. Go ahead and do the bedika. I'm getting out of here. You take over my house and do the bedika." What do we say? No, that the socher, insofar as he's going to live in the house, and if it's chametz b'shusei koi, that should be enough of a reason in this tug of war, which is again rooted in the chovas bias, where they both have equally the chiyuv bias. Now the socher maybe picks up the chiyuv because the chametz is now sitting in his rishus. Is nimtza? It comes out the following, that the ultimate maskana of the Gemara is going to be that since the keys we're not up to this yet, but since the keys were passed on to the socher after Chalos Yudalit, the masker is chayiv in bedika. Now the Gemara is going to go back and say the following, that you know what? You, Mr. Masker, were chayiv in bedika when the chiyuv emerged. We're not going to allow you to submit, to, how should I say, to circumvent that chiyuv bedika and shirk it from your response, from your shoulders, when you give over the maskechas to the socher, and you remain chayiv. But again, the Gemara is now introducing a whole new element into the equation. In the Hava Mina, when the Gemara presented the Sofik, the Gemara had no problem living with the fact that the Socher might be Chayiv in Bedika because his Schirus took place, and he had the Chovas Bias because of his Schirus. Now he has the Chovas Gavra to implement. And in fact, the Gemara wanted to prove from Mezuzah that we can impose the Chovas Gavra, and we must impose the Chovas Gavra on the Socher, because if he's shayach to the bias, then just like in mezuzah, since he's shayach to the bias, because he's now living in the bias, he's chayach to put up the mezuzah, he cannot shirk his responsibility and impose it back like a ping pong, you know, send it back to the mosque here. And the same thing should apply in chametz. He's living with the chametz in his rishus, he has a chiyuv of bedika, and the Gemara thinks we have a perfect equation analogy to mezuzah. The Gemara's answer is no. Mezuzah has nothing to do with the socher as a socher, but has to do with the socher because of Chovas Hadar. But now the Gemara doesn't know the svara of Chovas Hadar. Okay then? So if anybody wants to photocopy this, maybe tomorrow before Shia, please do so. Yeah. All right. We'll see. You know, I always have to decide whether to start the Shia with the Seder Aruch or end the Shia with the Seder Aruch. Yeah.
You owe one now.
Right. So how was the tea?
The tea.
The Kamali tea.